Here's your KNDY weather ology forecast for Northeast Kansas and Southeast Nebraska. For today, becoming mostly sunny, upper 70s, around 80. We'll see wind gusts as high as 20 miles an hour. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, mid 50s. Winds will be from the northeast between 5 and 10. For tomorrow, sunny skies, upper 70s. Winds will be from the southeast between 5 and 10. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, isolated showers and thunderstorms late in the lower to mid 60s. For Friday, partly sunny, chance of storms, 76. Right now, it's 61.
Kansas Mid-American Network News, Good Wednesday. Police say a report that someone with a gun was at a Lawrence Middle School led worried parents to break a window and pull children out of the school. Officials say the report at the Liberty Memorial Center Middle School yesterday turned out to be a miscommunication and there was no threat or gun at the school. Five students suffered minor cuts from the glass. A new $250,000 grant brought Kansas Wesleyan's efforts to establish a new nursing education center less than $1 million from its goal. The Dane G. Hansen Foundation announced the grant yesterday to the fundraising effort. So far, the project has attracted $3.75 million. And forecasters say after some bumpy weather in the state last night, Kansas may be under the gun for more severe weather on Friday night. I'm Rick Everett with your Wednesday Kansas News on the Mid-America Network. Construction contractors and landscapers, rent your way to greater profits with Bobcat Equipment at White Star Machinery. From the heavy work right down to the fussy stuff, Bobcat loaders, excavators, and telescopics handle all the tough tasks. Lifting, digging, pushing, carrying, as well as the most precise applications like grading, leveling, and laying sod. Tough jobs demand tough equipment, so when you have a tough job to do, rent a Bobcat machine. Stop by your authorized Bobcat dealership, White Star Machinery, and check out the power lease and great new sales promotions on new Bobcat compact equipment.
MJ's Truck Repair at Exit 46 off I-135 in Mound Ridge, America is the largest full-service truck center between Wichita and Salina in central Kansas. Truckers in the know already know, and ag people from miles around know they can turn to MJ's Truck Repair for repair and parts for their tractors, combines, and hay equipment. New construction types, listen up. Skid steers, backhoes, forklifts, bulldozers, and payloaders. MJ's of Mound Ridge is also your construction equipment parts and repair headquarters. Find MJ's on the web at mjstruckrepair.com.
A 33-year-old man has been sentenced to 20 years in prison for the October 2017 death of a confidential drug informant. Stephen Meredith was sentenced this week for conspiracy to commit first-degree murder in the shooting death of 48-year-old Carrie Jones. Both were from Junction City. Prosecutors contend Meredith shot Jones because he thought she would tell authorities that he was selling drugs. Meredith testified Monday that he was present when Jones was shot, but said he did not shoot her. The presidential campaign of former Texas Representative Beto O'Rourke says it is in direct contact with the FBI regarding the case of an Army soldier who was stationed at Fort Riley accused of sharing bomb-making instructions online and targeting left-leaning activists. O'Rourke spokeswoman Alea Cavalier said in an emailed statement that they take any threat like this very seriously. And the Reno County Sheriff, Randy Henderson, has announced he plans to retire on December 27th. Kansas Mid-America Network News.
Just a minute. It'll come back on. Internet problems can put parents in a pickle. As your kids grow up, be sure your internet speeds go up too. Call Blue Valley Telecommunications today and we will give you 2 months free plus free installation. If you're already a Blue Valley customer, contact us to find out what we have in store for you.
Nebraska Mid-America Network News, Good Wednesday. Authorities say an 8-year-old boy accidentally shot his little sister in North Platte. Officers and medics were sent to a home around 11 o'clock Monday morning. The 4-year-old girl was taken to a North Platte hospital for treatment and then released. More details about the accident and the children's names have not been released. A state commission has approved spending an estimated $181,000 on emergency repairs to the Nebraska Capitol's gold-tiled dome. Bob Ripley is administrator for the Office of the Capitol Commission and says the work to protect the dome from moisture and winter's freeze-thaw cycles will likely begin in mid-October. Plans for the emergency repairs call for workers to rappel down the dome and temporarily seal the expansion joints to keep its tiles in place. A longer-term solution to permanently fix the dome will happen at a later date. Mid-America Network News.
This is Rusty, office manager at Augusta Flight Center. One of the newest additions to our 11 aircraft fleet is 733 Tango Kilo. This beautifully maintained Cessna 172 has already become a favorite with many of our pilots. With a useful load of 843 pounds, a standard six-pack, and dual VORs, it's a steal at $105 an hour and a great primary trainer or time builder. For more information on our aircraft and training options, go to our AFC Facebook page, our website at iFlyAugusta.com, or call 316-733-4080.
For the best certified seed breed service, choose Kramer Seed Farms. Kramer Seed Farms in Hugoton, Kansas is proud to serve wheat growers in southwest Kansas, the Oklahoma Panhandle, and southeast Colorado. They work with top seed brands such as AgriPro, Lima Grain, and Watley Seed Company to offer the best certified seed varieties for local producers. For more information on what they can do for your certified seed wheat this fall, contact Kramer Seed Farms, 620-544-1579. Kramer Seed Farms, Hugoton, Kansas.
Reporting local news, I'm Bruce Dierking. Marysville City Council met Monday and approved an option to use temporary notes to fund the balance of a new fire station proposed for construction on North 20th Street. The decision as to financing is required in advance of a grant submission, which is now being finalized. Initial projections were to utilize $430,000 that the city currently has available, coupled with the potential of a $600,000 grant that would fully fund a $1 million structure. The architect returned with a $1.2 million estimate during a presentation to the council this summer. Then, as the grant application was considered, soft costs were added, now bringing total construction estimates to $1.6 million, leaving the city short some $500,000 to $600,000 to fully fund the facility. Options for temporary notes or bonds were discussed, with the mayor suggesting that a series of five-year notes could be repaid through the fire department budget without affecting the current mill levy. The vote to proceed passed 5-1, with Terry Hughes voting no. He expressed concern with the significant increase from initial estimates and was not comfortable borrowing money for a non-necessity. That prompted other council members' response, including Diane Schroller, who indicated that citizens she was hearing from were also expressing concerns. Consensus showed a reluctance to downsize the size of the building, which is designed to house all of the city fire and rescue equipment in a single location. Comment was also made that borrowing costs remain low and construction costs will inevitably rise. After conversation, city staff was advised to compare costs with comparable cities that have recently built structures and to investigate the potential of using fundraisers to provide some monies. It was decided the grant coordinator should be available to address questions from the public an hour before the next council meeting, that portion running from 6 to 7 p.m. on Monday, October 14th, with a public hearing during the regular council meeting following that evening at 7 p.m. Public comment may also be heard during the public meeting. Contractor estimate for repair of the North 3 tennis courts in the city park has risen from $21,000 to $30,000. That after cracks requiring reseal were more significant than originally thought. The process would include a new color coat and marking and will be guaranteed for 5 years. Some council members were reluctant with a short-term fix, but saw no other options, as USD 364 has indicated they do not currently have any capital outlay funds available. The mayor suggested that the temporary fix may buy some time to continue a cost-share conversation with the district at some point in the future. Vote was to proceed with the work to be funded through the Parks and Recreation budget. Approval of $20,000 bid for a new computer system at the City Hall and the Police Department was granted. A group of Kansas State University students have completed a housing study and will visit Marysville in October, meeting with various community leaders to discuss the next phases of an urban planning project and consider future development and potential uses for the city-owned property on North 7th Street surrounding the historic Union Pacific Depot. They will compile their concept ideas and recommendations for a public meeting planned on November 6th. Blue Rapids Police, in a social media post Tuesday, indicated they would be monitoring traffic in various areas of the community in unmarked vehicles and will be mailing violations in the mail. This is a response to a number of complaints reported around the school that are not occurring when officers are on site. They urge drivers be aware and observe posted limits. Betty Fincham, age 86, of Marysville, passed away Monday. Funeral service Thursday, 10 a.m. at the Berean Church in Marysville, Maryland, the Marysville City Cemetery. Visitation Wednesday, 10 until 9. Family will receive friends Wednesday from 5 until 8 at Kinsley Mortuary of Marysville, in charge of arrangements for Betty Fincham. Virgil Runnebaum, age 96, of Axtell, passed away Monday. Funeral service Thursday, 10 a.m. at St. Michael's Catholic Church, Axtell, burial of a church cemetery. Rosary Wednesday evening at 7 at the church. Visitation Wednesday, 11 to 5, at the Axtell Andreth Funeral Home, in charge of arrangements for Virgil Runnebaum. Joseph B. Joey Pale, age 67, of Hanover, passed away Sunday. Massive Christian burial Saturday, 10 a.m. at St. John's Catholic Church, Hanover, burial of a church cemetery. Rosary Friday evening at 7 at the church. Visitation Friday, 10 until 5, at Hanover Mortuary, in charge of arrangements for Joey Pale. Creta K. Bruna, age 79, of Frankfurt, passed away July 31st. A graveside funeral service is planned Saturday, 11 a.m. at the Frankfurt City Cemetery. Padden Funeral Chapel of Frankfurt in charge of arrangements for Creta Bruna. Betty Finch Bowie, age 88, of Summerfield, passed away Sunday. Celebration of Life service is planned Saturday, 2 p.m. at the Summerfield City Park. Private interment at a later date at the Liberty Cemetery. Quarry Mortuary of Pawnee City in charge of arrangements for Betty Bowie. On the Marshall County Senior Citizens Lunch menu today, ham loaf, red skin potatoes, asparagus, wheat bread, and fruit cocktail. Tomorrow, pork loin, baby bakers, broccoli, wheat roll, and sliced pears. KNDY News time is 7:16.
With United Bank and Trust online banking, you have access to your hometown bank 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year at ubankonline.com. You can view account balances, access statements, and transfer money between your UBT accounts. You can also view account activity, pay bills, and even make loan payments without being limited by banking hours. Simply visit ubankonline.com to learn more. Online banking with United Bank and Trust. It's banking for your way of life. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Here's your KNDY weatherology forecast for northeast Kansas and southeast Nebraska. We'll hit a low-pressure system move across the central and upper parts of the Midwest, and now this is off towards our east, and we have a high-pressure system that will build in, bringing us clearing skies for today, quiet weather for tonight into tomorrow, before another system will move in, bringing more chances of showers and thunderstorms as we enter Thursday night, Friday, continuing into the start of the weekend. It does look like temperatures will be up and down as we head over the next few days as well. So looking at the forecast for this Wednesday, sunny skies, upper 70s, wind gusts as high as 20 miles an hour. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, mid-50s. Winds will be from the northeast between 5 and 10. For tomorrow, mostly sunny skies, upper 70s. Winds will be from the south between 5 and 10. For Thursday night, mostly cloudy, isolated showers and thunderstorms overnight, lows around 63. For Friday, partly sunny, we'll continue the chance of storms, high as 76. And Friday night into Saturday, more chances of storms. This is meteorologist Megan Mulford.
CJ Express is your back-to-school and tailgate headquarters. Sandwiches, chips, and drinks make lunchtime easy. And Bird Shack Chicken and Hunt Brothers Pizza for dinners on the go. If you're looking for a hot lunch, stop in for the beef and bean burrito. Football season brings the return of the spicy jalapeno popper bulldog pizza and the Chiefs game day special with 8 chicken tenders, 2 pizzas, and a 2-liter at CJ Express.
Average high temperature late September, 77. The average low, 53. Sunset this evening, 7:15, sunrise in the morning at 7:14. 61 degrees, clear skies in Marysville this morning with a light southeast wind. Thunderstorm and tornado warnings prompted last night. Possible rotation indicated by radar between 6 and 7 p.m. along the Washington-Clay County line. Some thunderstorms fired in that area. All of the precipitation stayed south of U.S. 36. Another round of thunderstorms fired in northern Gage County. Also last evening. Let's check in the morning news and weather for this Wednesday, the 25th of September. KNDY News Time, 7:19. I'm Bruce Dierking reporting.
Are you hungry and a little old burger just won't do?
Lay off me, I'm starving.
Are you hungry and don't have a lot of time to wait? Bite Me Barbecue in Marysville has you covered. Get in and get out and get a great meal with all the fixings. That's Bite Me Barbecue in Marysville.
It will be October in Washington, after all. Hi, this is Dave Packer reporting on sports. The Nationals are going to the playoffs after Trey Turner led them to a win over the Phillies to clinch a wild card spot.
Swing a long drive, left center field, way, way back there, toward the wall. It's a grand slam! The Nationals lead!
On WJFK, 6-4 the final. Indians third baseman Jose Ramirez had 7 RBIs and 2 homers in his return from the injured list, including a first inning grand slam.
A swing and a drive to deep right field, away, back and gone! How about that welcome back?
On WTAM, Cleveland beat the White Sox 11-0, and the Rays walked up the Yankees in the 12th.
Pitch, swing and a drive to right field, back at a Judge to the wall. Rays win! Rays win! Rays win!
On WDAE, Tampa Bay 1-2-1 to stay a half a game ahead of the Indians for the second AL wild card. The Rockies came out on top in a marathon contest against the Giants, hitting 5 home runs, including 2 from Garrett Hampson. But it was Charlie Blackman's 3-run shot in the top of the 16th that provided the winning margin.
The pitch to Blackman. And that one's hit well to center. Going back is Pilar, the fence. It is gone! Way out of here for Charlie Blackman. Absolutely crushed it.
On KOA, 8-5, your final score. And an even longer game in Arizona as Ildemaro Vargas' walk-off single in the 19th inning lifted the Diamondbacks over the Cardinals 3-2. And NBA, the Bucks have been fined $50,000 for violating league rules that prohibit teams from discussing future player contracts. In response to Bucks GM John Horst's comments a couple of weeks ago that they plan to offer a Supermax contract to reigning MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo. I'm Dave Packer, ABC Sports.
Here, Bulldog Football Friday with a battle of top-ranked teams as Marysville travels to Sabetha. Kickoff at 7, live on AM 1570 and FM 94.1. Catch the area game of the week on Friday as Valley Heights are home against Republic County. Kickoff at 7, live on KNDY 95.5. On air, online, and on our mobile app.
From AgView.net, I'm Ken Rogers with Ag News. President Trump is hoping to sign a limited bilateral trade deal with Japan when he's face-to-face with Prime Minister Abe today at the UN General Assembly. But Japanese officials pushing for a provision that the U.S. won't like. You see, Japan wants a provision in the agreement that would allow them to blow it up and slap retaliatory tariffs on U.S. farm goods if President Trump moves forward with tariffs on automobiles from Japan. Multiple sources who are familiar with the negotiations say the request is putting a speed bump in the final stages of the talks. Negotiators are looking to give Japan a full exemption from Trump's tariff threats, but Japanese officials are said to remain cautious about reassurances from Washington. The pact with Japan, a big priority for U.S. agriculture, as farm exporters say they're losing market share to competitors like Australia, Canada, and the European Union. Competition continues to benefit from greater access to that lucrative Japanese market. Despite meetings last week at the White House, the waiting continues for the biofuel industry. No new details emerging on the possible reallocation of lost biofuels in the nation's fuel supply. USDA Deputy Secretary Steve Sinski announced on Monday the administration isn't quite ready to give out details on potential changes in volume obligations to offset lost demand due to EPA's small refiner RFS waiver exemptions. Sinski said the administration wants to ensure the potential policy change will meet the blend level requirements under the Renewable Fuel Association. The next steps on the plan, he says, coming out of the White House, will be taken by Larry Kudlow, the White House Economic Council Director. That's Ag News from AgView.net. I'm Ken Rogers.
morning. I'm Sam Speck with your latest market information right here on the Mid-America Ag Network. Well, as we start your Wednesday, we take a peek at how things finished yesterday as soybean futures were steady to 2 cents higher in the front months. Corn futures closed the Tuesday session with most nearby contracts fractionally to 1.5 cents higher. Wheat futures settled steady to 3 cents lower in the winter wheat contracts yesterday. And cotton sees losses as the futures posted 47 to 103-point losses in most contracts yesterday. Live cattle futures closed mixed yesterday with most contracts within 35 cents of unchanged. Feeder cattle futures were mostly 40 to 70 cents higher, as soon to expire September was down 35 cents. The CME feeder cattle index was up 12 cents at 139.80. Wholesale box beef prices were lower yesterday afternoon. Choice boxes were down $1.06 at $215.39, with select boxes 118 lower at $189.66. USDA estimated federally inspected slaughter at 233,000 head through Tuesday, which is down 2,000 head from last week and 4,000 head below the same week last year. Lean hog futures were up 38.5 cents to $1.05 on the close yesterday, as the CME lean hog index was down another 57 cents at 55.13. The USDA pork carcass cutout value was down 44 cents on yesterday afternoon at 69.74. The national average base hog value was up $1.29 at 45.88. Estimated federally inspected hog slaughter through yesterday was at 932,000 head, with Monday's slaughter being revised 11,000 head lower. That was 43,000 head below last week and 7,000 head below the same time last year. Wheat sees some losses overnight as December wheat right now is down 3 at 402. March wheat's down 2 and 3 quarters at 415 and 3 quarters. Corn's at a standstill as December corn's unchanged at 374 and 3 quarters, but up a quarter cent for March of the new year at 385 and 3 quarters. Soybeans also seeing some overnight losses as November beans are down 2 and 3 quarters at 891 and a half. January beans are at 905 and a half. That's down 2 and a quarter. Soy meal for October's down 70 at 294.70, and soy oil for October drops 13 points at 29.07. With your latest market information here on the Mid-America Ag Network, I'm Sam Speck.
The design and performance of the Gleaner Combine is like no other. This is Leroy, the tractor man from Schmidt & Sons. The compact and efficient transverse rotor system delivers unmatched cleaning, great grain quality, and durability, and they've been made that way since 1980. So whether you get an older R62 or a newer S97, you'll be getting optimum harvesting performance. Season to season, field to field, and crop to crop. Now is the time to upgrade your operation with a pre-owned Gleaner Combine. It's not too late to get 100% Gleaner performance for fall harvest season with a pre-owned Gleaner Combine from Schmidt & Sons. Until the end of September, you can get a great value with 0% for 24 months on select pre-owned Gleaner Combines. Contact us at Schmidt & Sons for complete program details. We will also have you covered with parts and service on that Gleaner Combine, making the overall value even better. Call or come to Schmidt & Sons, 6 miles west of Andale, or in Winfield on the west side of town on Highway 160, or find us on the web at schmidt.com.
It's time again for Farming America. I'm Steve Alexander with information about the world's most important industry. It is agriculture, of course. Again today, we'll be talking about your farm and home garden and what you ought to be doing right about now. After this.
Your best defense against breast cancer is a mammogram. I'm Dr. Sandy Goldberg, a breast cancer survivor and founder of a Silver Lining Foundation. And early detection saved my life. Are you uninsured? Are you underinsured? Are you a survivor and need follow-up testing? Feel like you have nowhere to turn? Times are tough, but getting a mammogram shouldn't be. Call us at 312-345-1322. A Silver Lining Foundation is here to help.
It is compost time of the season, and that's where Jim Fazell, our gardening expert, comes in to tell us about some of the things you need to be doing to get a compost pile going. He says there are a variety of ways to do it, but the process is essentially the same.
The organisms in that compost, in that heap, have to work on the material that's in there to digest it, and when they do that, they create heat.
And in addition to heat, it can also generate let's call it a fragrance. And Jim says if that's the case, you need to take action.
Now, if it's turned often enough, and if you do it correctly, and it's well enough aerated, you're not going to get any fragrance from it. If it's starting to smell, you know that you got to go to work and turn it over. That's why you need twice as much room. You have to take this 3x3 pile, turn it over, and put it in the 3x3 area next to it. You'll find out that each time you do this, it takes less effort to do it because there's going to be less and less stuff. And how do you do that is, how you build one of these is to layer it. First of all, you need to put about a 6-inch layer of organic matter on the bottom. 2 or 3 inches of good topsoil on top of that, and keep going with 6 inches of organic matter, 3 or 4 inches of topsoil until you get it up to the 3-foot height. Probably take you all season to get it that deep, but that's the maximum size that you want. And if it's high enough and well enough aerated, you're going to find out that there's going to be some heat coming off of it. And when we begin to get snow this next winter, you're going to find that the snow doesn't stick to the top of it. And oftentimes it won't even freeze through. So that's one of the ways of doing it. Disposing of the yard waste is a last resort. You can put this stuff in the yard waste and let the people pick it up, because that goes in the compost. And actually, you can probably go buy your same compost if you can figure out where it went, because that's what they do with it. If you go to the garden centers and you find this bag compost, that's where it came from. Yard waste and so forth that other people have sent to these recycling places. So it's not going to go to complete waste, but it's better if you keep it in your own yard. And you don't want to waste any of this organic material from your garden. It's a precious commodity. The one improvement you can actually add to your soil without any worry. It's not real easy, but it's gardening, and it's a good reason to be outdoors.
Thank you to our gardening expert, Jim Fazell, for more great words of advice on what to do to get our garden ready for winter. One other area that Jim wants to talk about is your roses, your hybrid tea roses, and how to get them ready for winter. He'll talk about that tomorrow. Back after this. Farming America is a presentation of the Tribune Radio Network. I'm Steve Alexander.
It's 7:30 from KNDY, 62 with sunshine, and we'll look for a little bit of a break today. Temperature's not quite so warm. We had a round of thunderstorms last night, fired a brief tornado warning for southern Washington County along the Washington-Clay County line. Rotation indicated by radar. There were no sightings of touchdowns, no damage. We didn't get anything in the way of precipitation here at Marysville or points along Highway 36.
Kansas Mid-America Network Sports. Good Wednesday in Kansas City's first game after manager Ned Yost announced he will retire after the season. The lowly Riles burst into a 6-run lead in the first 3 innings and beat the NL East champion Atlanta Braves 9-6 behind 3 hits and 2 RBIs from Nicky Lopez. Yost was hired by the Royals in May of 2010. He led Kansas City to consecutive American League pennants and the 2015 World Series title, the second in team history and the first since 1985. Royals are now 58-100 in their third straight losing season. Ned Yost says he wanted to stay through the worst of the Royals' rebuild before retiring. Kansas City went 58-104 last year. Yost says losing 100 games isn't in his DNA and that he hasn't enjoyed it. Kansas Mid-America Network Sports.
Tune for the Coach's Corner on KNDY. We visit with the area coaches each evening following sports at around 5:20. Monday, spotlight on Southern and Diller O'Dell. Tuesday, Axtell and Centralia. Wednesday, Lynn and Hanover. Thursday, Frankfort and Valley Heights. And Fridays, Washington County and Marysville. Tune for the Coach's Corner following evening sports at around 5:20. Plus, join us for live coverage of our Game of the Week and Marysville Home and Away games, live on KNDY.
Hear Bulldog Football Friday with a battle of top-ranked teams as Marysville travels to Sabetha. Kickoff at 7, live on AM 1570 and FM 94.1. Catch the area game of the week on Friday as Valley Heights are home against Republic County. Kickoff at 7, live on KNDY 95.5. On air, online, and on our mobile app.
What does it mean when mushrooms grow in your lawn? We've got all the fungus facts today on the Old Farmer's Almanac Radio Report.
If you're a farmer or a rancher, chances are you've thought about joining Kansas Farm Bureau. So what's stopping you? Your membership means you have a seat at the table when it comes to the issues that affect your farm. Things like trade, taxes, water, and regulations. The state's largest farm advocacy organization brings your message to policy decision makers at the county, state, and national level. The voice of agriculture becomes your voice and fights for Kansas farmers and ranchers. And a Kansas Farm Bureau membership includes other benefits. For about $50 a year, you'll receive discounts on equipment and supplies, cell phone plans, financial and legal support, home and office supplies, and more. You'll also receive Kansas Living, a quarterly lifestyle magazine featuring real stories of farmers and producers around the state, plus great recipes, crafts, and things to see and do in Kansas. Join us today. Visit kfb.org/farmer-rancher to learn more.
With more practical tips and useful advice, this is the Old Farmer's Almanac Radio Report for Wednesday, September 25th, the 268th day of the year. Actors Will Smith and Michael Douglas share a birthday, and Sandra Day O'Connor became the first female Supreme Court Justice on this day in 1981. We're often asked what can be done about mushrooms in the lawn. Our first response is usually, you shouldn't do anything. Mushrooms are simply a sign you have a rich, healthy soil with lots of organic matter. They are usually found where woody organic material is prominent, typically decomposing leaves, roots, or tree stumps. A simple way to reduce mushroom growth is to introduce competing types of organic material. Mulching your grass clippings will do the trick in most cases. That is the Old Farmer's Almanac Radio Report. To learn more, find us online at almanac.com.
KNDY.
My t-shirt in the hall, like a needle finds a groove. Baby, we'll remember what to do to drown out every distraction. It's time we made it happen. Strip it down, strip it down, back to you and me, like it used to be when it was an old back road with an old school beat, cowboy boots by your belt turn.